After a long anticipated wait, we could finally say it. Baseball is back. We're going to break down everything you need to know about the upcoming 2020 season here on the latest episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
I'm not going to lie, and you know, this is a weird way to start the show, but I'm just in such a better mood knowing that Major League Baseball is on its way back. I'm almost at that point where I could sit here and sing an updated or my own remix of the song New York, New York by Frank Sinatra. That's how happy and excited I am. But anyway, welcome back to another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and man, it's been a while. There was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of doubt, a lot of chaos in the baseball world, but we're finally at that point where we can say we have a set schedule in place for baseball to return. It is very exciting. There is a lot to talk about on this show. A couple of different rule changes, some important facts and information you need to know about the upcoming season, and just an overall kind of look at the negotiations between both sides and how it really hasn't been such a good look for the game. But we're going to get into all that on this episode, and we thank you as always for tuning in and listening to our show. And of course, we're going to talk about the Yankees. You know, we're less than a month away from seeing the Yankees play some baseball. This is great. But we're going to get into all this and more as the season rolls closer on. Again, follow us on social media on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. On Facebook, search us up by and like us, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, our podcast available on all podcasting platforms. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcast. Also find us on Spotify, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio. Essentially, there's no excuse for you not to listen to our broadcast and our shows. So make sure you find the outlet that fits you best and continue to tune in regularly. And as we get closer to opening day, we do have a lot more to discuss, so we'll be putting out a lot more content as the weeks roll on. Now, I figured that I would start the show off by talking about the, in a way, the negativity part of this show. And the negativity part is the struggle that became the negotiations between the Players Association and the owners. And I get it. And as a fan and as somebody who loves the game, I was starting to lose interest in what these guys were saying on both ends because, and again, I like to call myself Switzerland in this. I have no ties. I have no allies here. I'm just in the middle. But I'm just sitting here and I'm saying to myself, you know, the owners are greedy. They're losing money. Obviously, they're going to try to get the better hand for themselves because, let's face it, if you have a season, whether it be 80, 90, even 100 games if that was possible, you're losing revenue because you're not getting the fans to come into the stadium. We have to remember, due to COVID-19, fans are not going to be allowed in the stadium. So you're losing money on concessions, on merchandise, tickets, parking. You're losing a lot of revenue. And for some of the owners of teams that don't necessarily make that much, and I hate to throw teams in there because I don't know the revenue, but you could throw in a Tampa Bay who has struggled with attendance. You could throw in teams that are on the lower end of baseball's hierarchy in a way. The Miami Marlins right now are in a rebuild. The Baltimore Orioles have been in a constant rebuild. Those teams aren't making the money back. So you can understand why the owners are saying that. But I also want to kind of shake my head at the players too, because it was cute on social media, them saying where and when to play. But it just seemed like every time that Major League Baseball gave them an offer, it was always, okay, you know, we could do that, but we want this in return. So the greed worked in both ways. And I don't want to vouch for any players on social media, but I think that if you haven't, I would go and look at Trevor Bauer's tweets about how it was hurting the game. He was basically saying that they're in the car and they're driving it off the cliff. I do think that Major League Baseball missed a very big opportunity to capitalize on the fan base. You know, over the last couple of months, we haven't had any live sports action. And given the circumstances, and obviously health comes first, but Major League Baseball had a chance to own the spotlight and failed. They really did. Yeah, we're getting back July 1st, and spring training's going to start, and the season's anticipated to start on July 23rd or July 24th. But they missed a spot where they could have drawn fans in to grow excitement, not disappointment and just constant headaches of hearing, oh, they can't reach an agreement. This is bad, you know. Neither side can come to an agreement. They're acting like children. They're getting greedy. And it just makes a bad stain on the game. And for somebody who knows a lot about the sport and follows the sport religiously, I can't help but think about after 2021 when the bargaining agreement expires. Are we going to have a strike? Because let's face it, if they couldn't come to an agreement now, in a time where the world needed the sport and the world needed them to unite and say, you know what, let's put selfishness aside and let's get something done. Let's sit down and figure this thing out. They didn't do that. So I do have my doubts about them coming to an agreement on the collective bargaining agreement, considering what we just witnessed. And I'm not going to say which side was wrong, because obviously we don't know what went down deep into those discussions. But I will say this. I think it's a bad look for the game. I think they hurt the reputation of the game. And I think that this whole challenge and struggle was nothing but bad for the overall state of the game. And I hope that the owners understand that. And I hope that the players understand that too. And it's so often that you sit back and you look at some of these multi-sport athletes and you wonder, why are these athletes going away from the sport of baseball? You would think that in the sport where they have the best opportunity to make the most money, you would think that it would attract these kids. But you see the Kyler Murrays going to football, where they might not make as much money, but they're getting the instant gratification of playing at the biggest level, at the biggest stage right away. Baseball's not doing enough to attract the young athletes, and that's going to hurt the future of the game. So I hope that they're understanding this, and I hope that they work together to not say make amends, but think about this for future reference, because it hurt the game. And a strike would definitely hurt it even more. So I hope they learn from this. I hope we can move forward from this. And I hope that now the focus shifts on baseball. And hopefully, and that's another thing that we really need to discuss, hopefully the COVID-19 virus doesn't impact it even more. Because right now it's all fine and dandy to say, yeah, we're going to have a 60-game season. This is how we're going to play it out. But what happens if this virus takes another hit and continues to progress and impact more and more people? We're going to be in the same boat we were in earlier. So there's a lot at stake. There's a lot of things that can impact this. But we just have to hope that the plan that Major League Baseball and the Players Association have put into place is one that they can act out long term. Because if we do have a stoppage of a season and we do lose that baseball, I think it's going to hurt the game even more so. And that's definitely not good. But let's get off the negativity here, and we're going to take a look at some of the positive things that we're looking forward to during this 2020 season. Now, obviously, it's not going to be the same type of season that we're so used to. No 162 games and the playoffs. You know the grind of it. You know the rules of it. We've all been through it. But during this discussion, I'm going to talk about some of the new rules, and then I'm going to talk about how it impacts the Yankees too, because obviously we're a Yankee podcast, so that's the focus of this. So as we go along, I think it's important that we break it down and really break down how it impacts the Yankees as a whole, because that's the team we're waiting to see. I don't know about you. You might be a fan of another team, but I definitely can't wait to see the Bronx Bombers play once again. All right. Now, let's start off by talking about some of the important details. First and foremost, spring training is anticipated to start on July 1st. Pitchers and catchers will report first, followed by position players. If you've been following along the news, the majority of teams are actually doing their spring training at their home ballpark. So it's going to be a little different than what we usually see in February and March. Opening day is scheduled for July 23rd or July 24th. Major League Baseball said that there will be a schedule at some point within the next couple of days. So that'll be interesting to see. How long is the regular season? Yes, it will be a shortened regular season and it will be 60 games. A lot more rides on each and every game, and some divisions are going to have it easier. Some divisions are going to have it tougher. Some teams are going to have it either easier or tougher, depending on what division they're in. But again, it's going to be a little bit of a different feel. The players will get full prorated pay, which is what they were asking for the entire time. The playoff format will stay the same, 10 teams. You know, the same five in each league. Nothing will change there. They couldn't come to an agreement on that. Some of the new rules that they're going to implement. The universal DH for the National League just for the 2020 season. I think that's great. You know, I never understood the pitchers hitting, especially watching Chin-Ming Wong get hurt, how dominant he was pitching, and then that basically ruined his career. I get some pitchers are really good athletes. They swing the bat well, but I think that the DH is definitely a good thing. I would like this long-term, to be honest, because I think that not only does it give the Yankees more trade value with guys like Andujar and some other guys, but it allows more offense in the game, and I think that would be a draw for fans. The trade deadline, August 31st, so if your team's in contention, you'll have a month to see where you stand. It's basically the midway point of the season. The regular season is anticipated to end on September 27th. So again, that trade deadline will be good for teams that are in postseason contention. And then a bunch of health and safety measures to protect against the spread of virus. No fans in the stands, no spitting. Social distancing is required and no fighting, which I never thought that fighting was a part of the game, but you do have fights that break out. So it'll be interesting to see if the players could keep calm and not have any impact the season in 2020. Now, one of the other rules that I want to talk about is the extra inning rule. Starting in the 10th inning, and this is a minor league rule. I've seen it in independent ball working for the New Jersey Jackals. Starting in the 10th inning, a runner will be placed on second base. Why is that? Because of the fact of Major League Baseball doesn't want these games to be drawn out. You're in a situation where you're playing 60 games in, I believe, 66 days. So there's not much wiggle room. And it will put pressure on the pitcher, obviously. But it will also be in a situation where it will kind of speed up games, give a little more offense, give teams better opportunities for offense, and in turn will save bullpen and pitchers' arms, especially given the lack of time for pitchers to get ready before the season does start. And again, now this is another thing that will be interesting. The opening day roster will be set and expanded to help teams kind of push against injuries and try to keep guys healthy. So opening day, there will be 30 players on each team. After 2 weeks, the rosters will go down to 28. And then after a month, they'll go down to 26, which was agreed upon prior to the start of spring training that rosters would be expanded by the one spot. Teams will have a taxi cab squad, and they'll be holding guys at another location. For the Yankees, it'll probably be their AAA Scranton facility where they'll be able to take players if need be, and those guys will stay in shape and work out and whatnot. So the roster will be a little bit different. Those 20 players will hang out in Scranton. They'll be used as depth. It's like their tiny farm system, given that a minor league season will not be used. No new divisions, which is good. How the schedule is going to work out. 60 games, right? You're thinking, all right, how is this going to play out? Now, what's going to happen is you're going to play the majority of your division. And you're going to play on in your region or your coast. So, for the Yankees, they'll play their division, which is obviously Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Boston. And then they'll play interleague games against the NL East. So it's trying to limit travel and keep teams on the same coast. So no 10 o'clock games this year for the Yankees, which I definitely like because I can't stand the 10 o'clock games, especially given the late endings that some of them have. So you'll see a lot of the Red Sox, you'll see a lot of the Blue Jays, Orioles, Tampa. And then this is where it gets interesting. You're going to have your 40 games against your division. So 10 times you play your division, which is nothing too different than normal given the amount of times you play your division in a regular season. But then you'll play the other 20 against your counterpart division, so the NL East for the Yankees. So how Major League Baseball did it, and I kind of find this cool, to be honest with you. Instead of playing each team a set number of times, you'll play your rival 6 times. So the Yankees play the Mets 6 times this year, which obviously will end up being 3 at Yankee Stadium, 3 at Citi Field, and then it'll be a mixed number between the other teams. So it will limit travel. For the Yankees, it works out nicely because on the coast, the travel isn't too terrible for them and will also help them hopefully keep the virus numbers down. It's going to be interesting what's going to happen in these areas where the virus is peaking. But again, time will only tell on that. And personally, when they released the schedule, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, I like to see the National League, and especially given that now when you go into a National League ballpark, you don't have to have your pitcher hit. That's even better. That's a beautiful thing to me. So these are a lot of different changes and a couple of neat rules that Major League Baseball has put into play for the 2020 season. Again, there's no real long-term implications with this. I think that this is a good time for Major League Baseball to try some of these things, like the runner at second base to start extra innings. The bigger roster to start the season. Maybe, just maybe, Major League Baseball sees that, you know, injuries do happen in the game and teams break down as the year goes on. Giving them a couple extra bodies might help long term. So that's something that they might decide to discuss, especially with the bargaining agreement coming up. If you look on Twitter, there's so much that could be broken down in regards to the rules. You see updates coming in and out. But I think the most important one is the health regulations. I think it's going to be a lot different than we're used to seeing. Pitchers are going to have to use their own rosin bag. Batters are going to have to get their own hat and glove if they make the final out of the inning or if they're on base. There's no more picking guys up, a trade that we're so accustomed to seeing. There's just so many different things that are going to be different. It's going to be interesting. There's not going to be fans in the stadium, which is crazy to me. But I do believe that Major League Baseball is working on miking up the players, which will add a nice feel to it. But again, we're getting to that point where we're having baseball. And yeah, implementing a schedule was not on Rob Manfred's to-do list. But I'm glad that we're finally getting some resolution and that both sides were able to agree that right now, the best thing is to try to push forward to get some baseball. And only time will tell if it will work. Only time will tell if these new rules are a success or a failure or help or hurt the game. But for now, all we could do is be happy that we actually do get some baseball here. So now that we talked about the new changes for Major League Baseball, for the shortened, condensed season per se, it's important that we look at it from a Yankees perspective and how this impacts them. And before we get into anything specific, going back to the schedule, the Yankees do play a pretty tough schedule for a 60-game span. Yeah, you can say what you want about Baltimore. You can say what you want about Miami. But let's think about this. No matter how good or bad Boston is, they're always a struggle. When you're not going to just discredit your rival. Then you look at Toronto. They have a young core. Yeah, the pitching staff isn't necessarily there, but you can make a case if those guys make strides, Toronto could be a scary team to think about. And then Tampa. Tampa arguably is one of the best bullpens in baseball. They have a good pitching staff. They have a young core. They seem to just be there every year like a thorn in the side at this point. So in the division, you have to think, you know, those games, those 40 games are going to mean a lot. And then the interleague play. I said it on Twitter last night at Nick_Delahanty again. I personally think that the Mets are a sleeper team in this. I think that the way their roster is constructed, if they get hot, they could be a team that makes the playoffs, whether it be the division or a wild card. I think that they're that good or good enough in a 60-game span to get off to a hot start and make the playoffs. And then you look at the Nationals and the Braves, two, in my opinion, two really good teams that the Nationals coming off the World Series championship. The Braves are a young core. They got a lot of nice pieces in their complex and their franchise. And, yeah, you got the Marlins in that division. You know, it is what it is. And then you got the Phillies. New manager Joe Girardi. They have a little bit of a new look. They're not going to be an easy team to just run over either. So I think it's going to be a tough schedule, but I think that the Yankees are in a really nice spot in regards to their own roster because, let's remember, they arguably have the best roster in baseball. While pitchers are going to be, their outings are going to be shortened, obviously, because as we build up pitchers, you don't want to get anybody hurt. Let's remember, the Yankees have one of the best bullpens, if not the best bullpen in baseball. So instead of burning guys out, the Yankees are going to have an opportunity to use their bullpen, and I'm sure that Aaron Boone is going to use it as well as he's done in, over the past 2 years or so. You know, that he's going to manage those guys well. But 162 games gives you a lot more opportunity to burn guys out. A 60-game season with the right workload doesn't give you that opportunity. And come the playoffs, you got to think of it in this way. If the Yankees make the playoffs, which we all expect them to do, you're going to have a close to fresh Aroldis Chapman, Zach Britton, Chad Green, Adam Ottavino. You could go down the list. So if the Yankees could keep those guys healthy and keep their workload to the point where they're getting their work in, but they're not being overused, it's going to be a valuable weapon come the postseason. And let's not forget, the Yankees did sign a pretty big free agent this year in Gerrit Cole. So as the season goes on, you expect to see Cole dominate the way that he's dominated over the last couple of years. The real loser in this is Domingo Germán, who, as you all know, has 63 games left on his suspension. Here's how that's going to work out. Germán is done for the regular season, obviously. There's only 60 games. He will be eligible for the postseason at game four of the postseason. Now, I don't know if the Yankees bring him back. Really is going to depend on what the roster's looking like and if they need him. But you could probably make the case that there won't be a 2020 season for Domingo Germán. And you know what? You reload to 2021. You give him a little more time to sort things out in his personal life, get him back on track. And then you bring him back and you see what you got next year with him. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world. The Yankees could stay healthy. Germán is really not a necessity at this point. I mentioned it earlier, but spring training is going to be at Yankee Stadium. Going to be a little crowded considering the complex the Yankees use in Tampa. But again, they had some staffers come down with the virus, and a lot of teams are sticking with their home ballparks for training. So ideally, the Yankees probably use their Scranton complex for the kind of farm system guys, and then they will do their best to use the facilities they have at Yankee Stadium and probably around the area to keep their guys ready to go for the start of the 2020 season. Now, there's another big thing for the Yankees health-wise. When spring training started, we were already starting to, oh man, are you kidding me? We got all these injuries already. Come on, guys. Like, this is nuts. But the Yankees might be at full health come opening day. Let's start with James Paxton. A couple of weeks before the start of the original spring training, Paxton had back surgery. But right now, the left-hander has been throwing in simulated games and appears to be healthy and ready to go. So if this delayed start of the season helped anybody, it would be James Paxton. Paxton going into a contract year two, and he's a guy who never threw, I believe, more than 150 or 160 innings in a year. So a shortened season will definitely help him out, considering his struggles to pitch more than that in a given season. He's dealt with some injuries, but we've seen when Paxton's healthy, he is dominant. He's a great arm to have in that rotation. Giancarlo Stanton, another one, healthy, apparently healthy. He had a calf strain, which had me slapping my head a while back. But apparently, according to Boone, Stanton's fully healthy and ready to go. Hopefully, he can stay healthy That's the key. If he's healthy, he's a monster. We need him in the lineup every day, hitting the ball out of Yankee Stadium as fast as he can. And hopefully we can see a full 60 games of Giancarlo Stanton. Aaron Hicks. Who would have thought that somebody who had Tommy John surgery would probably be ready for opening day? Let me just rephrase that again. Somebody who had Tommy John surgery in October is going to be ready for opening day. Yes, it's not. I'm not lying. It's not a joke. It's 100% truth. Aaron Boone saying Hicks will be close to ready for opening day. Maybe not ready right on opening day, but they're saying that he's going to be ready to rock and roll at some point. He was doing some soft toss and throwing, and it appears that he's itching closer to a return to the field. That'd be a great guy to have back in the lineup for the Yankees. Switch hitter, really has hit well in Yankee Stadium. And let's remember, he's a great defensive center fielder, really gives the Yankees an edge in the outfield. And the guy that everybody is worried about is Aaron Judge, and who knows what his status is right now. He might be the one guy that's up in the air for opening day. He had a fractured right rib. This has been a saga. And he's been hitting in the cage, doing little things. But I believe that the Yankees are going to be very cautious with him, especially early on, because you don't want to risk a guy who many consider the franchise player going down with another injury. It's believed that Judge suffered the injury in September, but it's been a nagging thing that just hasn't gone fully away yet. So we'll see as the upcoming weeks come along. Obviously, as spring training starts, we'll get some more updates on Judge, but we'll see what his status is for opening day. Now, there's going to be more faces on the roster. You're going to have 30, 60 guys could go to spring training. There's going to be some competition for the final spots, especially those final four or five spots that the Yankees will have on that opening day roster. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It wouldn't surprise me to see some guys like a Davey Garcia, Clark Schmidt, get an opportunity to see what they can do. I'm sure those guys will be in their quote-unquote farm system products. But it's going to be a really interesting thing to see how many pitchers the Yankees keep opening day, because shortened spring training, shortened time to prepare. You don't want to burn guys out. It would be very valuable to keep some guys in the mix, especially in case of an injury. You never know. Some doctors are saying there's going to be a spike of Tommy John surgeries. Hopefully that doesn't happen for the game. We've already seen a handful of them. Noah Syndergaard, Luis Severino, just to name the two that have impacted the New York area. But again, let's hope that's not the case. And again, I think that the main thing that I could keep saying to you guys is baseball's back. It's going to be rather interesting to see how it plays out. There's a lot to dive into. I think that we dove into a lot here in a little less than a half hour of our show. So it's been exciting to be back on the air. It's been exciting to talk about baseball, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But I do have to tell you guys, I do have my doubts. And this might just be me being paranoid, so if you think I'm being paranoid, feel free to let me know. But I believe that we're having a season. I really do. I'm excited for it. I believe it. I have my doubts that it's going to happen. After sitting through the last couple of months and seeing everything that's gone down, I just won't fully believe it until we're actually on the field playing. And I think that a lot of us are going to be rejoiceful on July 23rd or July 24th if everything goes well. I think that there's going to be tears shed, a lot of smiles, a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. But I just feel like it's surreal, and I can't wait till they're actually on the field to know it's real. And I know I'm paranoid by it, but I've missed the game so much, and I'm sure a lot of you have as well. And I just can't wait to see it back on the field. I can't wait to see the Yankees compete for another World Series title. And yeah, 60-game schedule, I don't care. If they win the World Series, they win the World Series. It's a season. Regardless of who wins the World Series, it counts, unless it's the Astros. Anybody else, it counts. It's a countable World Series. You have to take into consideration the circumstances, and you have to just really understand that, you know, this is what it is. We're not going to change it. We can't do anything about it, and it counts. before I give you my normal social media plug, I just have one question for you guys. Who is ready for some Yankee baseball? Because I for sure know I am. Once again, this is the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media. Continue to follow our shows on our website. Our website can be located on our social media feeds. Again, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, the podcast available on all podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. You name it, our show is there available for you. And again, if you guys like sports, you like to hear us talk about sports, follow us every Thursday on the Let's Debate podcast. Myself and my cousin Kyle Delahanty are talking about the latest news and updates regarding the sports world as the sports world continues to open up and we get closer to the start of baseball, NBA, NHL. We're going to break it all down for you every Thursday night, 8 o'clock, live on our Facebook feed. And again, I thank you all for listening to another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. As the regular season draws closer, we are going to have a lot more content for you. We are getting back into our groove. It is summertime. I am off the clock. I am ready to give you guys more content. I hope that you guys are ready to hear more content from me as the upcoming weeks come along. And of course, as the season rolls along in general. That's going to wrap it up for today. Thank you all again for listening. There is baseball in sight. Just remember that. It'll put a smile on your face today. Thank you again for listening. This is the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. As always, let's go Yankees. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon.